Okay, I figured since the shiur tonight is in association with the Sfarim sale, which I hope people will have people plug, hope people will stop by afterwards if you haven't stopped by already. I want to begin with a personal confession. I have a Sfarim buying addiction, and I'm sure some people in the room can relate to that. If anyone wants to talk about it afterwards, I'd be happy to do so. And this is not an anti-plug for the Sfarim sale. I don't want, God forbid, people to not go and buy a Sfarim afterwards. But the truth of the matter is we're crazy. We're crazy people. My students who've been to my house know I have thousands of Sfarim. I don't learn the ones that I have enough, and I'm busy buying more. And what does a Jew really need in this world other than a Chumash? Maybe a Tanakh, Sefer Mishneh Berurah, Shulchan Aruch, a Shas. Okay, but at some point, like, we have enough. But there's a longing of a Jew, and a longing of people in the world to collect books, to buy Sfarim. The Chavetz Chaim once said, and it's brought in the Chavetz Chaim al HaTorah in Parsha Shoftim, the Chavetz Chaim said, imagine if they released a new book from a Malach. Imagine the Malach Gavriel, a book, an authentic book from the Malach Gavriel, was released, was published, and it was translated into 75 different languages, and everyone goes out and they buy the book, in Hebrew, in English, in many, many languages of the world, and how excited people would be to read that book. A Malach spoke, an angel spoke, and an angel told us what he was feeling, told us about his life, what it's like to be a Malach. Everyone would want to read that book, and we'd read it from cover to cover. And yet the Chafetz Chaim said, Kal v'chomer, God writes a book, it's called the Torah, and like, we get tired of it after a while. You know, like, I got the basic storyline down, I don't have to read every word of it, I don't have to analyze it. Right? So the Chafetz Chaim said, Alach es kam v'kam, how excited we should be if new books come out from people who live in our world, and we're so excited about it. So the Chafetz Chaim said, just pause for a second before you go buy 1,000 new books, and just realize we have something called the Torah HaKadosha. We have Chazal. And again, I'm a big lover of Sfarim buying, and I'm an addict. I'm mamish an addict. I've spoken to my wife about it. I've come clean, but it's a serious thing. But where does it come from? Why do people like buying books? And I just want to share with you one quote that I think I saw many years ago. I think Rav Judah posted it once upon a time. And the quote goes as follows. The buying of more books than one can read is nothing less than the soul reaching toward infinity. The buying of more books than one can read is nothing less than the soul reaching toward infinity. It's this unbelievable desire of a neshama to want to know everything, to want to experience everything, to realize that everything in the world is somehow an expression of the Chachmas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we want to tap into that. We want to get to know that. We want to experience that. And this passion is the only thing that raises us above the beasts that perish. It's what separates us from animals, that we can think, we can reason, we care about people's ideas. We want to analyze their ideas. We want to read their ideas. Of course, as many tzaddikim have said, not every thought that enters our mind should be written down. And not everything that's written down should be published. And not every book that's published should be read. They attribute that from everyone from the Rambam to the Kotzker. And many tzaddikim in between. Right? But sometimes you walk into a Sfarim store, or you walk into a Sfarim sale, and you pick up a book, and you open it up, and you see one idea in that book, and you have to buy it. Anyone ever have that? It's just me. Right? You see one idea, you see one story, you see one vart, and you have to own that sefer. It's not enough to have a photocopy. I have to have this in my house. I have to have this in my life. And again, it's that experience that's being described as this desire towards the infinite, that I want to connect deeply to this idea. And sometimes it's just one idea that can justify the whole sefer. Rav Schechter writes in the Nefesh HaRav on page 334, he says that Rav Chaim Brisker used to say, sometimes you have a sefer, a person puts out their Chidushei Torah, it's not such a great book. Rav Chaim was a genius. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was a genius. And he said, you know, this is a subpar work. It's not going to make a major dent in the world of Torah. But Rav Chaim said, sometimes this person can have one chiddush in the book, can have one novel idea, can have one way of presenting an idea, that Rav Chaim says it justifies the entire book. And sometimes one idea in a book justifies the publishing and all the chidushim, which are not really such big chidushim, not even correct some of the time, but sometimes it's one quote, one idea in a book, says Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, can justify the value of the entire book. That's what Rav Schechter writes in Nefesh HaRav. One of his later Sfarim came out about 12 years later, Ginas Egos. Rav Schechter writes that one time he was in Eretz Yisrael giving a shir at a particular yeshiva. He names the yeshiva. And he said that in the shir he quoted this quote from Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, that sometimes one idea in a sefer justifies the entire sefer. Rav Schechter said the Rosh Yeshiva came up to him after the shir, it's not clear, hopefully jokingly, and said to Rav Schechter, just hearing that one story from Rav Chaim Brisker justifies the whole shir. It was worth to hear your whole shir just to hear that one idea. So Shachter was a little insulted, like, well, you didn't like the rest of the shir? You're saying the rest of the shir was Hevel Havalim? That one story made it worth it? But sometimes just one idea makes the whole thing worth it. So I want to just thank everyone for coming tonight. I hope I'll share at least one idea that's worthwhile that you'll be able to take home. And again, if anyone wants to talk about Svarim addiction after this year, there'll be office hours for those who are interested. Okay, the topic tonight, the topic that I selected for tonight is trying, the importance of trying, the importance of making efforts, the importance of doing what you can, and not worrying so much about results. And does HaKadosh Baruch Hu reward us for trying? And I think we all know the answer to that question. Libi Omerli, everyone knows, the heart tells you that if I try, if I do the best I can, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be pleased with me. I can't control anything other than the effort that I'm willing to make. And yet at times it's very difficult for us to believe that. And I want to try to learn that sugya, the sugya of trying, the sugya of making efforts in Avodas Hashem. I don't want to just talk about learning Torah, because that's an obvious place to start. A person walks into a base medrash, you pick up a book, you try to understand the pasuk, you try to understand the Ramban, you try to understand the Tosfos. At the end of 45 minutes, you don't understand anything. You haven't actually learned anything. You have no new ideas. You've grasped nothing of God's wisdom. And needless to say, it's obvious to us that when a person makes effort in learning Torah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards you. Famous word from the Chafetz Chaim. It's in the Chafetz Chaim al Torah and Parshat Bechukosai. And we say it by a siyam. We make a siyam on a mesechta. Anu ha-meilim, v'heim ha-meilim. We work, and they work. We, Jewish people, work, and the rest of the world works. Anu ha-meilim, u'makab l'mischar. We work and get reward. V'heim ha-meilim, and they work, the world works. V'ein ha-makab l'mischar, and they don't get reward. So the Chafetz Chaim says, that's not true. Why do we say that every time we finish reading learning a mesechta? That's not true. We work and get reward, and they work and they don't get reward. I get my sizable paycheck from Yeshiva University, and my Gentile neighbor gets his paycheck. I work and he works. I get reward, he gets reward. We both get paid. The Chafetz Chaim famously explains that when it comes to Torah, you get paid for the effort. Anu ameilim, for the effort, mekabel schar, you get paid. In the real world, if you don't produce, they'll be out of your job in a matter of months. So anu ameilim mekabel schar, when we work, when we try, when we make effort, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us reward. People in the world, if you don't produce, if you don't have results, you have nothing to show at the end of a quarter, then you're going to lose your job. But I don't want to just focus on Torah. I want to take it much bigger, because Klal Yisrael is much bigger than just our Lima Torah. The last Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Lefum Tzara Agra. The last Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which if we had time, I could argue is really the last Mishnah in Shas. Lefum Tzara Agra. Lefum, in accordance with the Tzara, with the effort, with the struggle, is the Agra, is the reward. The Jewish people are called Yisrael. When did we pick up the name Yisrael? Rav Leib Eger says, read the Torah. When Yaakov fights against the Malach, and he beats the Malach, the Torah says, from this point forward, the Malach gives him a name, because Baruch Hu signs off in this name. From now on, you're not just known as Yaakov, you're Yisrael. Where does the word Yisrael come from? The Pasuk says, Ki Sarisa, because you battled, because you fought against Malachim. Vatuchal, and you won. So Rav Leib Eger asks in his Sefer Imre Emes, Parshas Vayishlach, why aren't we called victory? Why is our name Kisarisa that we fought? Because that's what makes the Jewish people the Jewish people. We keep trying and we keep fighting. And it's crazy that we're still here today. It's a historical anomaly that the Jewish people exist in the world today, Bechlal. After everything that we've been through, it's insane that we're sitting here and we're thriving. That's an amazing thing. Kisarisa. It says in Leib Eger, the very definition of what it means to be a Jew is a person who keeps trying, a person who makes effort, we mess up, we pick ourselves up, we try again. We see results, we don't see results, we keep trying. That's the story of Klal Yisrael. I want to begin with the Parsha. Let's look at something in this week's Parsha. One of my favorite Vars, I think, ever, since I've discovered it. It's such a beautiful idea if you grab onto this idea. This week's Parsha, Mishpatim, has tons of halachos, mitzvos, very strange collection. It's hard to put it together. The Rishonim are trying to explain why the beginning of the Pasuk is connected to the end of the Pasuk. They seem to have nothing to do with each other. From one Pasuk to the next, it's hard to understand what the Hemshich is, what the continuation is. The Pasuk says at the very end of Perach of Beis, Va'anshe kodesh tiyun li, you should be holy people. You shouldn't eat abominable creatures. You shouldn't eat an animal that hasn't been ritually slaughtered. Va'anshe kodesh tiyun li, be holy, specifically in the context of eating. You should be a holy people. Uvasar basada trefa lo sochel. An animal that wasn't slaughtered properly, you should not eat. What should you do with it? If this dead cow, Betsy the cow died, can't eat it, what are you going to do with it? La'kelev tashlichu nosam. Throw it to the dogs. What dog? Why give it to the dogs? Maybe, I don't know, maybe sell it. Make a couple bucks. Why should I give it to the dog? Rashi explains, going back to Shmos Perek Yud Aleph, that when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, and the dogs normally would have barked, the dogs didn't bark. The dogs held their tongues, And Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards every action that a person does, even a dog. And therefore, since the dogs held their mouth back, their mouth deserves to be rewarded. So you have a dead animal, a basar basad, a treifa, lo sochel, you can't eat it, so give it to the dog. Okay, that's what Chazal says, that's what Rashi brings in this week's parsha. Perech of Beis, Pasuk Lamed. Last Pasuk in Perech of Beis. But if you look at the Das Akenim of the Bali Tosfos, open up Mikras Gedolos Chumash and see this with your own eyes. It's so beautiful. It's mamish so beautiful. Such a chizik for us. We learn from a dog. What do we learn from the dog? Says the Das Akenim. Me'achar sha'kelev masar nafshal atreifa. What is this dead animal? This dead shepsula. Yeah, this little sheep that got killed. Who is this dog? You know what this dog is? This dog is your sheepdog. This dog is your watchdog. This is the dog that tries to protect the sheep from the wolves. And day in and day out, this dog is working to protect your sheep, to fend off the wolves, sometimes with tremendous mesiras nefesh, that the dog gets attacked instead. So you can imagine, this dead sheep, the dog also tried. He tried as best he could here. This sheep didn't die without a struggle. The dog was barking, the dog was trying to fight off the wolf. It was too much. In the end, what happened? The sheep got killed. But do you realize how hard the dog tried? You're not going to say thank you to the dog. You're going to scold the dog. You yell at the dog for not protecting the sheep. The fact that the dog fought valiantly to try to defend this animal so it shouldn't be killed when the wolves came. When the wolf came to devour it. Have a little hakaras hatov for the dog. Say thank you to the dog for trying. That when you have a dead animal, give it to the dog. Let the dog enjoy. Think about how many other times this animal could have been consumed and the dog did win those battles. So you're going to focus on the fact that this one time the dog couldn't fend off the wolf? Think about how many times this dog saved you and saved your animal, saved your flock. Think about all the other ones. So one got killed, but look at how many others were saved. That was through the effort of this dog. The dog tried his best. And therefore reward the dog for trying. That's the way of the world. Who is this dog? It's the way of the world to have a sheepdog who watches over the animals so that they shouldn't be attacked. And therefore, how could you not say thank you to the dog for trying? How could a dog who tried to do the best he could not be rewarded? Al-achas kam v'kam. When a Jew puts in effort to do something for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it doesn't work out. It just didn't work. You tried. You really tried. And there were other times it did work out. Right? But you're looking at the one time that it didn't work out, and you're saying, nah, nothing's going to come from this. No reward. Hashem's disappointed. I mean, the opposite. Hashem says you tried. And the fact that you failed here shows all the other times that you tried and you were victorious. It reawakens, wow, it's so amazing how last time you were successful. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Kisarisa, you fought, you tried. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you deserve to be rewarded. A writer once came to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and he said to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, there are people who are trying to be chozer b'tshuva, and I want to know what to do. How should I encourage them? What's the right way to be makariv people? Okay. The Lubavitcher Rebbe was certainly an expert in that opinion. So I asked the Lubavitcher Rebbe, how can I help people find their way back? There's people who are honest seekers. They want to be connected. How do I help them find their way back? So the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, you can't compromise their search for truth. A person who's searching for the truth, you have to take them seriously. And you can't, don't water down the Torah. And he quoted the famous Pasuk when Eliyahu is on Har Carmel. And Eliyahu turns to the people and he says, how long are you going to waver between Hashem and Baal? Pick your side. You can't be stuck in the middle. How long are you going to waver between the two opinions? If you're with God, then go for it. Be truthful about it. Go all in. And if you believe in Avodah Zarah, then invest in Avodah Zarah. Go all in on Avodah Zarah. Baal Shrebi said you have to be emistic. You have to tell people the truth. So this writer said to the Baal Shrebi, what if a person finds that to be too rigid? It's too intense. They're not going to want to do anything. So the Baal Shrebi said, that may have been true before Hasidus came along. Before Hasidus came along, there were Jews who believed that it was all or nothing. Right? That Eliyahu on Har Carmel is basically saying, either go to Hashem or go to Avodah Zarah, but don't get stuck in the middle. And the Baal Shrebi quoted that himself to explain how you should try to help this person return. But he said, Hasidus revolution, that it's not all or nothing. Because Hasidus taught that even a small mitzvah is the whole world. When I do a small mitzvah, I'm all in on a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so maybe later I'm going to mess up and do something else. But right now, I'm with Hashem, a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm with Hashem the entire way. My entire world is that particular mitzvah. And the Baal Shrebi said, a person can begin his journey back to a Kadosh Baruch Hu by fulfilling one mitzvah. By fulfilling one mitzvah. By trying to do something. A Jew makes an effort, that's called serving Hashem. You did what you could. That's called serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu. What was the innovation of Hasidus? The Baal Shrebi said, Hasidus redefined the terms of what it means to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you do a little something, that's doing, that's trying. That can't, that's a world. Why do you think Lubavitchers are so busy putting tefillin on people who otherwise, they're not going to necessarily change? Do they believe that the tefillin will change them? Maybe. But they also believe that wearing tefillin itself, one time, trying to do the Ratzon Hashem for 1 second, is mamish everything. Okay, halavai should continue. But to believe that every little bit that a person does, that every little effort that a person makes, that's a whole world. What was the innovation of Hasidus? I want to share with you, there's many answers to that question, there's many ways you can respond. Lubavitch Rebbe himself has a whole essay on that question. What is the essence of Hasidus? But I want to share with you a beautiful presentation of what was the novelty of Hasidus, as presented in the Sefer Shemen HaTov, the Haggadah Shel Pesach. In the Haggadah, the Shemen HaTov writes many, many svarim. In his Haggadah on page 279, he asked, what was the Chiddush of Hasidus? Was it just that they had chumras in certain areas of halacha? No. You don't need to make a revolution out of making chumras. For sure you don't need a snagdus to making chumras. That wasn't what the fight was about. What was the Chiddush of Hasidus? So he says that the Baal Shem Tov came to teach the world that the effort along the way also counts. That it's not just about results. It's not just about scoring points by actually getting to the mitzvah. And everything else is just what? A hecha timsa, a stepping stone to the mitzvah. Which means most of our day is just preparing for that couple of moments of mitzvah. Those few moments of davening, those few moments of learning, those few moments of shaking the lulav, of hearing a shofar. That's serving Hashem. And the rest of the day is just getting us prepared for that. The Shemin HaTov says, according to that approach, when a person sleeps, the sleeping is not a mitzvah. It's not inherently holy. Sleeping gives me the strength to then go back to learning Torah. Eating gives me the strength to go back to doing mitzvahs, to daven with more energy. The Baal Shem Tov came along and said, no way. Baal Shem Tov said, the eating is holy, and the sleeping itself is holy. The process, the efforts, the trying, the steps along the way, those are also holy. It's not just the final results. It's not just what a person achieves. And the fact that a person spends most of their life doing all the process, all the trying, that's most of our life. The Baal Shem Tov, there's no way that's not called Ratzon Hashem. The trying has to count. And the Shemin HaTov points to a Gemara, Maseches Shabbos, and explains it so beautifully to show how this idea is really found by Kabbalah Satara. Just had Parshas Yisro, Kabbalah Satara. The Gemara in Shabbos says in Daf Peches that the Jewish people revealed an unbelievable secret. What was the big secret? It's actually the words are in this week's Parsha, Nasa V'Nishma. Nasa V'Nishma. And the heavens were going crazy. How did the Jewish people know how to say Nasa V'Nishma? How do they know how to say that? Nasa before Nishma? Who says such a thing? I'm going to do it before I even hear what it is. The Gemara says in Shabbos Peches, commenting on a pasuk in Shir Hashir, "Kitapuach ba'atze hayar." The Jewish people are like a tapuach. Lama nimshulu Yisrael l'tapuach. In what way are the Jews like a tapuach? We usually translate tapuach as an apple. Tosfos says it's actually an esrog here. In what way are the Jews like a tapuach? Lomer lecha, ma tapuach ze pur yo kodem la'alav. Just like by the tapuach, the fruit precedes the leaves. So to the Jewish people, said Nasa before Nishma. You would normally expect the leaf to then lead to the development of the fruit. Right? But by the tapuach, which again Tosfos says means the esrog, the fruit comes first and then the leaves come afterwards. So too the Jewish people spoke out of order, so to speak, nasa before nishma. What's the pshat? What's the fruit and what's the leaves? What's the fruit and what's the leaves? So normally a person thinks it's the leaves that lead the way, the bud begins to blossom, and eventually there's going to be fruit. But the leaves are just setting up the possibility of fruit. The leaves are not really, it's just the process along the way. Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai understood that even after the fruit, there has to be leaves. That even after you produce results, the leaves are still chashiv. If the leaves come before the fruit, if the nishma comes before the nasa, then the nishma is just getting us there so that we can actually do something. I eat food so that I can have strength to then learn Torah later. But if I say nasa v'nishma, if I have fruit, if I produce results, and I'm still thinking after, but the leaves are chashiv also. The leaves are, the process is also chashuv. The efforts along the way are also chashuv. And that's really how Hashem wanted the world to be. Hashem didn't want us to be the types of people where we're only focused on the fruit, that the tree, I don't have karas l'tov for the tree. The tree works so hard and the people are so busy plucking the apples. Ah, what a beautiful apple. What about the tree that put in all the effort? What about the tree that tried? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted people to appreciate the tree. Remember the Rashi in the beginning of Bereishis? Rashi in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yod Aleph. Eitz pri, oset pri. Remember Rashi? Eitz pri, that the tree itself should be fruit. And then osa pri, it should also produce fruit. That the bark, the part that no one's so interested in, the part that's working so hard to produce that fruit, should also have the tam ha-pri. Should have the taste of the fruit. That the thing that produced is also chashav. It's also, the effort along the way is also tasty. not just the results, not just the fruit at the end. Let's learn a little bit of Rav Kook. Okay, I'm going to read it in English. It's hard in Hebrew, it's hard in English. I don't know which way is harder. It's hard in both ways. But in the Oros HaTshuva, in the sixth parak, my brother loves to quote this, Rav Kook describes, again, how it was supposed to be, how we messed it up, and how we're trying to get back to it. And trying to get back to it means becoming people who appreciate the effort, who understand that the trying is also chashuv. And when Hashem sees that a Jew is trying, the same way that the farmer sees that his sheepdog was trying, it deserves a reward. It deserves to be complimented for the effort and for all the other times it was matzliach. Listen to the words of Rav Kook. It's in Oros HaTshuva, Perek Vav, and Os Zayin. I'm going to read it in English. At the inception of creation, it was intended that the tree have the same taste as the fruit. That's the Medrash. That's what Rashi quoted. All the supportive actions that sustain any general worthwhile spiritual goal should by right be experienced in the soul with the same feeling of elation and delight as the goal itself is experienced when we envision it. Say that again. All the supportive actions, all the steps along the way, all the effort that was made, all the trying that sustains any general worthwhile spiritual goal. That again, it's the tree, it's the trunk that's pumping life into that fruit to allow the fruit to be. We should be able to experience it with the same feeling of elation. We should be so excited about the process. The same way we're so excited about the goal itself as we experience it. But earthly existence and the instability of life, the weariness of the spirit when confined in a corporate frame, brought it about that only the fruition of the final step, which embodies the primary ideal, is experienced in its pleasure and splendor. We like the fruit. We're not interested in the tree. We don't care about the process. We say thank you, Hashem, for the fruit. We don't say thank you, Hashem, for the roots that pump nutrients into this tree, because we're not people who appreciate the process. And Rav Kook says that's a spiritual failure, that we have failed to live up to the ideal that Hashem had in mind at the beginning of creation, where we have an appreciation for process the same way we have an appreciation for results. The trees that bear the fruit, with all their necessity for the growth of the fruit, have, however, become coarse matter and have lost their taste. We don't eat the leaves, we don't eat the bark, we don't eat the roots, we're not even interested in them. And Rav Kook says, again, that's a failure. This is the failing of the earth, because of which it was cursed when Adam was also cursed for his sin. Adam Rishon messed up, and the world is less than perfect. But trying to get back to it, like the Lubavitch Rebbe said, is teaching people that the process is also, when you do a little something, that's everything. That little something contains everything within it. The tree contains the fruit that it's going to produce. And therefore the tree has to be appreciated. But every defect is destined to be mended. Says Rav Kook, as we get closer to Mashiach, you know what's going to happen? People are going to start to appreciate the process again. And we're not just going to be about the results. There'll be people who make efforts. And they'll be able to have people who look at them and say, you know what, you tried really hard. And that matters. It's true, it's happening in our world today. People sometimes make fun of it, you know? Like now, every kid who plays in the game is a winner. Everyone gets a prize. Like, no, someone wins the game, and the kid who lost is a loser, and that's it. Like, learn, that's how life goes, you know? Now, everyone gets a trophy just for trying, but that's part of a messianic fixing. That's a tikkun. That the people who tried, they played the game. Why shouldn't they get something? We have to highlight the one person who won the game. Everyone gets a prize, because everyone tried. And Rav Kook says, every defect is destined to be mended. It's going to be fixed. Thus, we are assured that the day will come when creation will return to its original state, when the taste of the tree will be the same as the taste of the fruit, that the earth will repent from its sin, that the world will do tshuva. Again, we'll once again appreciate the process along the way, the efforts along the way. We'll realize that, yes, the eating and the sleeping is not just a stepping stone to doing real mitzvahs, but that eating is a mitzvah, and sleeping is a mitzvah. And doing what Hashem wants me to do at any particular moment in my life is a mitzvah. And we become holy in our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, who undergoes an unbelievable transformation. In some siddurim, many siddurim, at the end of Shacharis, there's a list of the Sheish Zechiros. The six things, the six places in the Torah where a person is supposed to remember something. Where does that come from? I don't know where that comes from. The Ramban. The Ramban was upset that the Rambam only listed two things in his mitzvahs, two things you have to remember. You have to remember Shabbos, you have to remember Mitzrayim. And the Ramban says, no, there's four other things you have to remember. You have to remember Amalek, you have to remember Kabbalah Satorah, you have to remember Miriam, you have to remember Chedah Egel. So the list, in the back of the list, the Sheish Zechiros, you know, there's some art school paskins like the Ramban. Six things to remember. Okay. Six very important things to think about. And some people have the minhag to say it at the end of davening. The Baal Tanya, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, says there's a chiyuv to say it every day. Okay. There's one more that you can add to the list. And there's many you can add to the list. But I want to highlight one that you can add to the list. The Imrei Emes, the Ger Rebbe, says if you look in Parshas Ekev, there's another Zachar. Another Zachar. It's almost Parshas Zachar. Shkalim the Shabbos.
Zachor.
Remember what says the Imre Emes in Parshas Maase. Eila Maase b'nei Yisrael. The Jewish people are traveling. Moshe's writing down the travels. Says the Imre Emes. It's beautiful. He says from the year Tafresh Ayin Tes. Mitzvah t'midas hi. There's a constant mitzvah. Lizkor kol hamasos. To understand, to remember the travels. We were here. We were there. It's like the most boring part of the Torah. Parshas Maase. We were here. We were there. Then we were here. We were there. Shopping around for pizza again. Yes, says the Imre Emes, yes, there's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to me this, to remember all the places you've been. The process. The efforts that were made along the way. Not just when you finally got there, when you reached the goal, but all the steps along the way. As the Pasuk says in Ekev, Vizacharta es kol haderach. Remember the derech. Remember the road. Right? How did any of us get to this room right now? Think about our life. Think about where we were. Think about times in our life where we would never have gone to a shir. Not if someone dragged us by our hair. And think about now, all the things, all the people who have influenced us along the way. And the choices that we've made, and the opportunities that we've been given. And the fact that we're here, v'zachartas kol haderech. Don't forget the process. I hate that the most, when a Rebbe, you have some young Rebbe, who just begins to teach, right, and he's pretending, he talks to his students as if he's like been from his whole life. As if he wasn't in high school 4 years ago. You know? And he's talking down to the students, Kilu, he's like the Gadol Ador. The Zachar test called a derech. You want to inspire your students? So be honest. Say it's a process. Tell them the process is also chashiv. Yeah, there's going to be bumps in the road. There's going to be parts that don't taste so good. The fruit doesn't always... doesn't always taste like the fruit. That's Mashiach when the fruit will... and the tree will finally realign. Right? But the Zachar test called a derech. Remember, there's a process. That when a person tried, that's part of it. That's part of our story. And a person has to appreciate that. And a person has to recognize that. And a person has to realize that he's going to be... or she's going to be rewarded for that. In Slanim or Svarim, in Slanim Rav, they bring a Purim story. I want to transition a little to Purim. It's almost Purim. In Slanim Rav, they bring a story. It's not clear who the chassid was a chassid of. But some chassid shows up at his Rebbe's door. He shows up at his Rebbe's door. It's late in the day on Purim. And he says the following to his Rebbe. He says, Rebbe, I want a bracha. I want a reward for my Shalach Manos. So he says, you didn't bring me your Shalach Manos. So he says, no, Rebbe, you have to understand. He said, I set out this morning, there was a terrible blizzard. And I got stuck in the snow. And I never got to deliver it. But here I am, I finally was able to push my way through, and now I'm here. And somewhere along the way, I don't even know where the Shalach Manos are. I lost the Shalach Manos. But for the fact that I pushed to be here, the fact that I tried so hard to get to you, Rebbe, to bring you something, that itself deserves a reward. And I want a bracha. Rebbe was very, very impressed by this. It's Azus the Kedusha. And he gave him a big bracha. And he said to him, when a person leaves this world, the Rebbe was very nispal. He said, when the person leaves this world, we're going to have the same conversation with the Kodesh Baruch Hu that you just had with me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, I gave you a lot of life. I gave you a lot of opportunities. Hashem's going to say, nu, where's the fruit basket? Where's the Mishloach Manos? What'd you bring? And we're going to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hold on a second, Rabbanu Shalom, I don't have so much to show for it. So Hashem says, okay, so we're going to Gehenna. Oh, hold on, Hashem, let's talk for a second. Do you know how far I traveled to get here? Do you know where I've been? V'zachar tes kol haderech. Hashem, you wrote it in your Torah. V'zachar tes kol haderech. Don't you realize that for all the tircha, listen to the lashon, this is the lashon in the sefer. For the tircha of coming to Olam Hazeh, just for the tircha, if I did a horrible job, the tircha of coming to this world, that alone I deserve a reward. I don't go to Gehenna just because I went through this. Because I tried. I made some really bad mistakes. And you know what? You add up my mitzvahs at the end, I don't have so much to show for it. I don't have Mishloach Manos for you. But the tircha of coming down to Olam Hazeh, that alone should save me from Gehenna. And the Slanim Rebbe, I think it was one of the Slanim Rebbe's, again, it's not clear in the story, it's brought in Slanim Svarim. But the rabbi said to his chassid, you'll see, this is going to be an eitzah. It's going to be an eitzah at the end of time, to be able to have this conversation with Hashem. I tried. I was here. I kept trying. Rav Huttner in Pachad Yitzchak on Purim has a beautiful, beautiful, it's one of the Yiddish pieces in the back of the Sefer. But it's a beautiful piece. He quotes a pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk in Tehillim says, about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's in Tehillim Pei Tes, if you want to look it up. Ata Moshel Begeyus Hayam. Ata, you, Hashem, Moshel, you rule over the Geut Hayam, over the grandeur of the sea, the powerful ocean. Biso Galov, Biso, with the sin. Biso Galov, when the waves rise up, Ata Tishabachim. When the waves rise up, Ata Tishabachim. You rule the grandeur of the sea. The Pasha Pshat is, when the waves rise up, Ata Tishabachim, you calm them down. You're in charge, Hashem. A big storm coming in, it's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's going to destroy people, or it's going to get sucked back out through the undertow back into the ocean. Ata Moshe, but you're in charge, Hashem. Ata Moshe Begeyo Sayam, the grandeur of the sea, the roaring ocean. Besog Alav, and it rises up, Ata Tisha B'chem, you calm them down. So Rav Utner says, Tisha B'chem, that's an interesting word. Tisha B'chem, the shorish of that word seems to be Shavach, a praise. You rule the sea when the waves rise up, you praise them. Ata Tisha B'chem. Again, the Pashup Shah, the Rishonim says, Ata Tisha B'chem, you calm the waves down. But Rav Utner says, why is that word, which means to calm down the waves, also a word that means you praise the waves? Why does Hashem praise the waves? And Rav Utner says, the waves have this unbelievable ability to keep trying. If there's anything we learn by standing on the banks of the ocean, watching the ocean, right, the water rises up, it comes crashing down, it gets pulled back out, tries again, picks itself back up, tries again, picks itself back up, tries again. And Rav Utner says, by many of the Yom Tovim, a person tries to take the Yom Tov with you. You try to be successful. On Pesach, you try to take a little Cheres with you. Right? On Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, you try to take a little Tshuva with you. Sukkot, you try to take a little Simcha with you. Rav Utner says, Purim you don't take with you. You don't take Purim with you. Purim, you have to experience it, you have to immerse yourself in it, and then you have to let go. And then you have to, you know, hope you wake up safe the next morning. Yeah, Purim, you don't take Purim with you. It doesn't go with you the whole year. That's what Rav Utner says. He says, but, and this is the lashon that he says in the Sefer, Aber kol zman, yichzitz b'im tish, but the whole time I'm sitting at the table. And on Purim, sometimes there's a lot of ups and downs. The waves come crashing down. But Rav Utner says, as long as I'm sitting by the Purim tish, as long as I'm still holding by Purim, storm ich, I'm going to storm. I'm going to be like that ocean that keeps trying to pick itself back up, Bisog alav atat tishabchem. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, not only am I in charge of the waves, not only do I control the waves, I calm them down. You got to relax. Waves, I'm in charge here. But the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, unbelievable, you keep trying. What a musr we could take from the ocean. That the waves try again and again and again and again, and they struggle. But they don't stop, and they keep trying. And they keep trying, and they keep trying. Rav Utner was once himself at a wedding with Rav Aaron Cutler. And they got into a conversation, and Rav Utner tells Rav Aaron Cutler, I was speaking to a fellow, a well-respected person in the community, and there was a shidduch proposed for his daughter. And the young man himself, who was himself a fine young man, he's learning nicely, he's been in yeshiva for a number of years, but he's not such a Talmud Chacham, not such a Talmud Chacham yet. And more than that, he doesn't have such great kishronos. He's not a genius. And my daughter's very bright, she's very intelligent. You know, maybe she should marry a guy who's like a real genius. And he's thinking about this, what should I do, you know? He's just not a Baal Kishron. He's not a person of unbelievable intellect. Right? He's working on himself, and he's learning. And he's trying his best. And his father, again, was trying to decide, you know, is this someone I think is fit for my daughter? It sounds very shallow to us, maybe. But okay, that was what was happening. And then the father remembered, as he's deciding, should I agree to this shidduch, not agree to this shidduch, he remembers the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. That the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, whoever fulfills the Torah in poverty will be zochet to fulfill it in a state of wealth. Which, of course, we understand, as the Gemara in the Dharm says, that wealth and poverty is not only financial success, it's how much a person is successful or not successful in terms of their intellect. So a person who's poor in Torah, a person who's not very smart but tries hard in Torah, will eventually become rich in Torah, that their mind will sharpen and their intellectual capabilities will enhance. So the father decides that he's going to take the shidduch. And Rav Utner, for whatever reason, is telling this to Aaron Cutler. Okay. And then Aaron walked away. And Rav Utner didn't see him for a while. It's one thing, what happened? Where did Rav Aaron go? The great Rosh Hashiva of Lakewood, where'd he go? And he's walking around, he's looking for Rav Aaron, and he walks into a room, it's dark in the room, and he sees Rav Aaron sitting in the corner, and he's crying. He's sitting in the corner crying. So he says, Rav Aaron, what happened? Did I say something? Rav Aaron says, when you mentioned that Mishnah Pirkei Avos, it dawned upon me that I was never zochet to the wealth of Torah, because I was never poor in Torah. Rav Aaron said, I had unbelievable intellectual capabilities. I never went through that struggle. And Rav Aaron was crying over the fact that because he never had to try so hard, it always came naturally to him, he felt he got robbed. He never had the opportunity to achieve real wealth in Torah, he said, because I never went through the poverty of Torah. I never went through the struggle of Torah. So you hear a story like that, and I'll ask you a serious question. Do you feel bad for Rav Aaron Cutler? I'm being serious. Do you feel bad for Rav Aaron? Like, poor Rav Aaron, he was such a genius. He knew so much Torah, it must have been so hard for him. As we're trying to like get through Shanai and Mikra. Do we feel bad for Rav Aaron? Do we feel that we're blessed because we have all the struggles? And poor Rav Aaron wasn't able to try hard? Right? It's hard for a person to believe that. It's very hard for us to believe that if I try, and I try, and I try. Again, in the base medrash, we'll believe the Chafetz Chaim Zvart, you know? Anu amelim b'kalbim schar. In the base medrash, I work on Tosos. Okay, I was learning. I didn't understand it fully, but I was learning. I put in the time. I don't grasp it. I put in the time. But bichlal, in general, in my life, when I'm trying and trying and trying, and that's good enough, dayenu, we don't believe that. It's very, very hard for us to believe that. Rav Soloveitchik in 1957 was giving a shir on brachos. And he quoted Rav Chaim Volozhiner. He quoted in Yiddish. I mamish can't read this Yiddish. It's very hard Yiddish. Rav Chaim Volozhiner used to say, it's in the Rav, it's in the Machzor for Rosh Hashanah, on page 521, Rav Soloveitchik Machzor. He quoted, again, it was from a shir in 1957. Rav Chaim Volozhiner used to say, our purpose is to do, not necessarily to accomplish. Whoever told you, where in halacha does it say your goal is to accomplish? Your goal is to do. Your goal is to try. Lasok b'divrei Torah. To just be involved. To get involved. To do what you can. And a person sometimes is on that derech for a long time. It's hard to call a derech. You're on that road for a long time. And you feel like I didn't get anywhere. I remember one of my students once showed me a tweet. A kid got off an airplane. Went to the airport. Got on the airplane. Flew across the country. Got off the airplane. Found himself back in the airport. And he says, how could it be that we're still in the airport? We were on a plane for 7 hours. How could it be that we're still in the airport? Right? It was a different airport. But to the kid, it felt like the same airport. I didn't get anywhere. I haven't gone anywhere. There's a chartas called a derech. I'm still schlepping along. Chafetz Chaim was sitting with his son-in-law working on the Mishnah Berurah. You should know that Chafetz Chaim didn't write the Mishnah Berurah by himself. He wrote it with a team. And he's sitting there with his son-in-law, and he's trying to figure out a particular halacha for a half a line in the Mishnah Berurah. And they're sitting there for hours. Gemara, Rishonim, Achronim, Poskim, trying to just figure out the right way to write a half a line in the Mishnah Berurah. And all of a sudden, his son-in-law turns to him after hours and says to the Chafetz Chaim, he says, do you think anyone in the future who's going to open up a Mishnah Berurah, you know, and for 10 seconds read through this line, do you think they're going to have any appreciation for the hours and hours and hours and hours we poured into figuring out how to write this half a line in the Mishnah Berurah? No one's going to appreciate everything that we went. But you know how hard we're working on this? They're sitting there schwitzing for hours to write a half a line in the Mishnah Berurah. And his son-in-law says, no one's going to ever appreciate this. So Chafetz Chaim says to his son-in-law, he says, I'll explain to you with something that I saw when I was younger. And maybe it'll resonate with you. He said in Russia under the Tsar, the Tsar had people building railroads, building railroad tracks. And there was a father and son who were standing on the tracks also, these heavy iron tracks, laying the iron tracks, banging away, clapping away for hours and hours and hours. And at one point, the son turned to his father and said, do you think a person who's going to get on a train and fly across the countryside, do you think they're going to have any appreciation for how much our backs hurt when we're here banging away at the iron, laying down these tracks? And the father turned to the son and he said, does it really matter? We work for the Tsar. The Tsar tells us what to do. He's our purpose. He's our leader. He's our father in the fatherland. He provides for our country. He asks us to build a railroad, and that's all that matters. It doesn't matter what the results are. So Chafetz Chaim turned to his son-in-law and said, the same thing's true. We're sitting here writing the Mishnah Berurah. Who cares? Who cares what people are going to say? I'm worried about the results. Not only Hashem's, I'm worried about other people's results, what other people are going to say about me. My job is to do. Our job is to carry out the Ratzon Hashem. And the Ratzon Hashem is that there should be a Mishnah Berurah so Jews know how to live their life. They know how to live in accordance with halacha. Chafetz Chaim said, just keep trying. That's our job. We don't have to worry about the results, what other people are going to say about us. Our job is to do the Ratzon Hashem. I was trying to prepare this year, emphasis on the word trying. I was trying to prepare this year, figuring out exactly which direction to go. And Kodesh Baruch Hu gave me an idea, which I'm so excited to share with you. What was the biggest Nisayon of all time? What was the biggest Nisayon of all time? Avram's 10th and final test, arguably Akedas Yitzchak. Avram has dedicated his whole life to Hashem. 100 years old, he finally has a child. The child is not such a child anymore, according to many Rishonim. He's 37 years old. And Yitzchak is at the Akedah. Avram is asked to do the impossible. It makes zero sense. Bereshis Parachov Aleph, Yitzchak is the future. Bereshis Parachov Beis, go murder your son. It's a complete contradiction to the whole message and the whole life of Avram Avinu. It's a crazy thing. And Avram does it. That's even crazier. Avram believes in a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He goes and mamish jumps out of bed in the morning. He runs up the mountain. He's ready to go. And all of a sudden, he's about to do it. And a Kodesh Baruch Hu says, don't do it. Kedas Yitzchak. Do you know how much we're banking on Akedah Yitzchak till this day? Yom no ram slichos. Every day, Akedah, Akedah. It's all the schus Akedah. What do we do to the Akedah? We didn't do anything for the Akedah. Avram Avinu, it was such mesiras nefesh that till this day we're banking on the schus Akedah. Unbelievable. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, as Avram's about to do it, Vayomer al tishlach yodcha el anar, Val tas lo me'uma. Don't do anything. Avram, don't do a thing. And now I know that you're God-fearing and you wouldn't withhold your child and it's over, it's called off. Avram wants to now understand the contradiction, Bereshis Chaf Aleph, Bereshis Chaf Beis. Listen to this Rashi. Remember this Rashi? Al tishlach yadcha el anar, Val taslo ma'uma. Al tishlach. Don't extend your hand. Lishchot. Don't kill Yitzchak. Amar lo. Avram says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im kein lachin am basi lakan. So I came here for nothing. This was pointless. Why did I schlep up this mountain? Why did I scare Yitzchak? Why did I kill Sarah? Why did I do it, right? Because Sarah dies through the Akedah, according to Chazal. Why did I go through all this for nothing? Mamish, a waste of my time, a waste of my energy, emotional energy. The relationship between me and Yitzchak may never be the same. My wife Sarah is going to die from the shock when she hears about this. I may lose the respect of some of the people I'm trying to be makariv. Amar lo im kein lachinam basi lakan. And you know what Avram says to HaKadosh Baruch according to the Medrash, according to Rashi? It's terrifying. Let me at least cut him a little bit. Let me just wound him. I won't kill him. This is crazy, Rashi, no? Avram's begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let me cut Yitzchak. Let me at least cut him a little bit. So this whole thing shouldn't be a waste. Let me extract a little blood from him. And Hashem says back to Avram Avinu, Amar lo, al tas lo ma'uma. The pasuk says, al tishlach yadcha lishchot, don't shecht him, v'al tas lo ma'uma, don't do a thing to him. Don't you dare touch him. Ki ati yadati, because now I know that what? That you're God-fearing. Al tas lo ma'uma, Rashi says, al tas bo mum. Ma'uma is lashon mum. Don't even make a mum. Don't touch him. You know what I want to suggest? I want to suggest that, you know what the ultimate nisayon is? The ultimate nisayon is when a Jew works so hard for Hashem, and makes so many sacrifices, and then a Kodesh Baruch Hu says, nah, nothing's happening here. No results. I worked so hard to come up this mountain. I was prepared to offer my son, who was the future of you, Hashem, of Klal Yisrael. And now Kodesh Baruch Hu says, nah, don't do it. I'll toss the mood, don't do it. And Avram's begging Hashem, I need to have some results. I need to see that this wasn't in vain. Im kein lachin am basi lakan. This whole thing was a waste, Avram says. And Hashem says, you know what the biggest nisayon for a yid is? To believe that when you made all those efforts and it seems like nothing came from it, it wasn't a waste. It was the biggest victory in history. The Klal Yisrael for generations are going to be banking on your efforts. And you're all tzibrachim because, I didn't see any results. Nothing came of it. Avram needs a lamaisa. He wants to do something. I need a little blood. I need to see something. I need to feel that this wasn't in vain. And Hashem says, you need to learn over here in your mind that this wasn't in vain. You need to know that a Jew makes an effort. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let's go out. You tried. That's good. You passed the Nisayon Akedah. To such a degree that the Medrash says that the ashes of Yitzchak Avinu are gathered before Hashem in the Shemaim. What ashes? Yitzchak didn't die. But Avram was so committed to do it, it was done. It was done in the heavens. You tried, full credit in Shemaim. No results in this world, full credit in Shemaim. What an unbelievable lesson that even Avram Avinu, the first Mammon, the founder of Klal Yisrael in a certain sense, struggled with. And therefore, we struggle with it also. But we try. We try to believe in this. We try to be an imamim v'muna shlema, that when we make efforts, the Kodesh Baruch Hu rewards us. And that's what we learned from our parsha. If a little sheepdog who tried his best but was not successful is given a reward, and the Chazal make a point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't miss anything that a person does, a failed effort, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards, then al-achas kam v'kam for each and every Jew. I want to end with one final story. And if you want, you can go buy this book at the Lawyer's Farm. So. There was a book, it came out in 2006. I didn't buy this book, someone gave it to me. It's called, I saw it at the Farm Sale. It's called My Yeshiva College. Yashar Books, 2006. And it's different people who went to YU back in the good old days, and they share the recollections, what it was like in the good old days in YU. And there's a story in there, and it's kedai to look up the story. Go to this Farm Sale, you look at this with your own eyes. Page 226. It's an amazing story. Look at this story. The story is told, there was a person who, now he's a professor in Canada, in McGill University, and he describes how he came to YU in 1963, from public school, from Haddonfield Memorial High School in New Jersey. Somehow he came to Yeshiva University. And he said he wasn't very educated in terms of the Torah knowledge. He didn't have a lot of experience learning Torah. And he's taking a class, and again, back in the day, the classes were really demanding. Poetry and Torah. Poetry and the Torah is the name of his class. He signs up for this class. And he's completely, completely overwhelmed when he sees what the expectations of this class are. The class met once a week for 2 hours. But in the interim, between the weeks, you had to learn, whatever was assigned, you had to learn every commentary you could find on that assignment. So for example, he was told to prepare all of Parshas Ha'azinu with basically everything in the Mikras Kedoshim. Rashi, Ibn Ezra, Ramban, Svarno, basically, prepare by next week, prepare all of Parshas Ha'azinu for a once-a-week class for 2 hours. And he said, he described how he struggled, and he tried, and he tried, and he tried. And it was hard for him. He didn't have the background. and he used secondary resources, and he got friends to help him. And he prepared, and he prepared. And every single week, week after week, he would show up to class, and the teacher would begin the lecture, and the teacher would call on him at some point during the class. And every week, he wasn't able to answer it. He just didn't have that grasp of the material. As hard as he was trying every week to prepare and to prepare, and the teacher wrote in his book every single week, zero unprepared. Week after week, zero unprepared. Week after week after week. And after a bunch of weeks into the semester, he finally goes over to the teacher. And he says, listen, if you want to give me a zero for not knowing the answers, that's fine, I don't know the answers. But I'm begging you, please don't write in your book unprepared. It's not fair that you write unprepared. I'm trying so hard, every week for hours and hours and hours. I'm trying to learn the material. It's too hard for me. But don't, please stop writing. For hours I work on your class, for this once a week class. Please stop writing unprepared. So Mir Hashem, we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say, Rabbeinu Shalom, you want to give us a zero for efforts? The Slanim Ramashal, we show up without the Mishloach Manos? We tried. But don't write unprepared. Don't say we didn't try. Each person, Lefi Madrigaso, each person according to their level, we're trying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a Karas HaTov, and teaches us to have a Karas HaTov to a little dog that tried its best to protect the sheep and was unsuccessful, then Achas Kam V'Kam HaKadosh Baruch Hu should look at each and every one of us, see the efforts that we've made throughout this very long and schleppy galus, the Zacharta Kol HaDerech, and Amir Tzah Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will recognize our efforts and give us 100 and reward us with Mashiach Meher B'Yaminu. Amen. Thank you all for coming. Shabbai Menis Tzvarim.